Now, if you would you turn in your Bibles at this time to Acts chapter 4. And I want to read one verse this morning in this portion of God's Word. And that's verse number 13. Acts chapter 4 and verse number 13. Where the Bible says, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." Now, we look at this verse of Scripture, and the thought came to my mind as I was preparing for this message today, thinking about this message today. We have here two disciples. We have two men that, based upon what the Bible says, these two men were unlearned men. These men didn't have a lot of academics under their belt, so to speak. But there's one thing that they did have. They had a radiant, glowing testimony indicating, reflecting the fact that they had been with Jesus Christ. And I want to today take this verse, take the thought here, and share with you this morning the thought, a down-to-earth Christian. Just simply a down-to-earth Christian. I want to preach about that this morning. Now, before I have prayer and before we get into the message, let me just say this. In spite of all of the unique challenges, in spite of all of the grievances and the problems that all of us are having to deal with in this day and time, that still does not hinder God's people from being effective, loving, living, serving, and magnifying the Lord. In other words, the times still are not to take away from us what God expects us to be and to have as far as being a Christian. So I want us to think about that today, just an old-fashioned, down-to-earth Christian. We can still be that. In spite of the challenges, we can still be, by the grace of God, and of course I'm talking now about those that have come to Him and been saved, of course, but we can still be a down-to-earth, godly, Christ-exalting Christian, and it should be evident to people around us that we have been with Jesus. And that was true of these men. Let's pray. Father, bless now the reading and the preaching of the Word of God today. Thank you, Lord, for this service. Thank you for the songs. And bless now the message as it goes forth. And I pray that needs might be met if there's someone today that does not have the testimony that they have come to Jesus and accepted Him. I pray today would be that wonderful day, that day that will make, that could make history, that would make history if they'd turn their lives over to Christ. Father, help us all today that know You and serve You and love You to be reminded today that the times are not to dictate to us how we're to serve and live for the Lord. We still can reflect Christianity, we that are saved, as much as we ever have. So bless now this message, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, when we speak this morning on the subject or use the title, a down-to-earth Christian, we could perhaps also use the heading, just an old-fashioned Christian, because both of those thoughts, those titles, are still dealing with the same thing. I'm simply talking about a Christian that has no pretension, that doesn't put on an air, who is just simple and straightforward. Someone that reflects genuine Christianity. Someone that is real. Someone that's not putting on a facade. Just a genuine, down-to-earth child of God. And again, let me emphasize what I said earlier in my opening remarks. There is still no Bible ground to be found on anyone modifying their Christianity to suit the times. We still are what we are. God still expects us to shine. God still expects us to be the salt of the earth. So regardless of the times, that still is not to dampen, That's still not to render ineffective. That's still not to in any way hinder our being the Christian that God saved us to be. We find in this passage of Scripture a reference to two of the disciples, how their testimony was obvious, how they, people around that saw them, that knew them, they couldn't find in those two disciples any great detailed explanation in terms of any great doctrine, let's say, or any great fault of the times. But what they could see in Peter and John, they could see a genuine Christ-like statement of faith in their personality and in their deportment. You know, the Bible says that Christians were called, or the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. That's in Acts chapter 11. Why were they called Christians? Well, because they had a Christ-like deportment. Their deportment lined up with that title. In spite of all of the changes that are taking place today, it's still refreshing to just be around a plain, old-fashioned, down-to-earth Christian. It is so refreshing. Now, many of us today, we think about the good old days. We talk about the good old days. And very few of us, if we had our choice, we'd go back to the good old days, though. You know, it's amazing. Have you thought about this? You see all kinds of things out there online. You know, all kinds of interesting things about how it used to be in the good old days. And how, comparing that to where we are now, everything has been updated and upgraded. And we say sometimes, boy, would I like to go back to the good old days. Now, would we really? Okay, now, there are some things that I'd appreciate again. I'd like more simplicity. I'd like more closeness in families. I'd like to see more neighborliness in neighborhoods. And so there's a lot of good things. But some of those things, I'm just not so sure we'd like to go back to. I don't think we would like to go back to some of the inconveniences that we used to have to put up with, we who come from that era of the good old days. I'd much rather vacuum my rug than have to beat it with a stick myself. But now, I did appreciate this about the good old days. I lived in a little country town in West Virginia. You could leave your doors unlocked. My mama was a Irish lady, and she told it like it was. And we were laughing. She had a good sense of humor. And Carol reminded me of something that my mama said this past week. We were talking. My mother just simply, what you saw was what you got with her. Anyway, my daddy was a coal miner, and we come from a poor family. But I'll tell you one thing, I have no regrets. I thank God for my background. I wouldn't want to replace it. But anyway, my father one time was walking down the railroad track, picking up coal along the side of the road, or along the side of the track. And a lot of people did that in West Virginia, Pennsylvania. Just picking up coal that had fallen off of a coal car. And it just so happened, while he was doing that, some kind of an official with the railroad happened to come upon him and told my father, or actually threatened to put him in jail because he's picking up coal, you know, that had fallen off of the train car. Well, it just so happened that my mother got involved. I think the guy may have come by our house. And my mother looked that official in the eyes. She told that official, she said, look, she said, we have 8 kids. She said, if you take him to jail, you're taking all of us. She was country. But you see, I can relate to those simple days. But you know, we managed to survive without air conditioner, though. We really did. The only mouse that we knew anything about was a rodent. That was the only mouse we knew anything about. Not something in your hand at a desk. Downloading, the only way that anything we knew about that term was putting hay in a barn when it come to matter to downloading. And a website was where spiders lived. You know, I actually remember when it was inconvenient to have to go to the bathroom when it rained. And y'all know what I'm talking about. But you know, today, there's a great need of just old-fashioned, down-to-earth Christianity. We have been cleared, we have not been cleared to tamper with the meaning and the conduct of the Christian life. We do live in a stressful and a changing society, and many are not coping too well, especially with what we currently have to deal with. And we certainly know the answer to the question, are we immune to stress? And the answer is, no, we're not immune to stress. But you know, the expression that sometimes you used to hear, just be yourself. Just be yourself. We could apply that this morning to Christianity. Just be yourself. In other words, just be the person that God saved you to be. Just be the Christian that we were before the corona hit. Just be consistent. You know, be in season, out of season, like the Bible says. In other words, we need to know the self. When we talk about be yourself, we need to know the self that God intended. When we say to a Christian, be yourself, then think about the self that God intended for the Christian. What about the self? Just a down-to-earth, old-fashioned Christian. I believe that an old-fashioned Christianity is still the right norm, because God is the same. The Bible is still the same. The truth remains fixed. You see, someone said that there's nothing that's permanent except change. And there's some truth to that. News is changing all the time. In fact, news is changing so fast that a speaker can be speaking, and by the time he gets through with a lot of the things he's sharing, he may have to update it. People write articles only to have to revise them, only to have to alter them, only to have to change them. Now, could I say this morning that religion and Christianity are two different things? And it's so important to remember that. Religion changes, but not Christianity. Someone said that the religion of China is Confucian, and the religion of America is confusion. And I see truth in that. You see, the term old school actually still fits when it comes to Christianity. When someone says, you're from the old school, if they're talking about Christian, you ought to say amen. Because we still are of the old school when it comes to the matter of a genuine Bible, down-to-earth Christianity. That hasn't changed. Until God changes, until the Bible changes, Christianity is not going to change. Because it's connected to an unchanging God. When He saved us with an old-fashioned Christianity. And as we live in this modern changing world, we still have got to be an old-fashioned Christian. Christians today don't need to tailor even their churches to entertain people, because our spiritual well-being is hanging in the balance. And by the way, when we get sick, we don't want to call a comedian. We call a doctor, don't we? And I believe that what we do in church is serious business. We handle God's word. We preach the truth of Scripture, and lives and souls are hanging in the balance, and people need God. People need to be saved. There is a heaven, there is a hell, and today the truth of God's word is what supplies the needs of human beings. It's God's word. I'd like to say today that old-fashioned Christianity is normal Christianity. It's normal. In other words, just be a down-to-earth Christian. Let me develop my thoughts just a little bit here this morning. What is a down-to-earth Christian? to earth Christian. What is it? What can we say about it? Well, first of all, I believe that a down-to-earth Christian has a down-to-earth relationship with a risen Lord. Just a down-to-earth relationship with a risen Lord. People, Peter and John didn't hide where they'd been. They didn't hide it. You know, I was coming, I thought about an interesting thought to maybe write a little article about. I write about everything. I come down the road this morning and I didn't see the critter, but I smelled where a critter had been. You say, are you talking about the critter that has the white streak down its back? No, I'm talking about the critter that didn't make it across the road. I didn't see him, but I certainly smelled where he'd been. And could I put it this way? I believe that people, when they get rubbed shoulders, are in contact with God's people, I believe they ought to be able to sense the odor of a Christian using that thought. There ought to be that testimony. And shame on anybody that will let these times cause them to be less than what they ought to be for God. I tell you, I've preached it before and I'll preach it again. If this coronavirus ought to do anything, it ought to cause the people of God right now to be yearning to get back in church. It ought to give us a hunger to get back in the house of God. And so I can put a big old possum smile on my face and I can look at camera right dead in on the eye and I can say to anybody, when this mess is over, if we don't see you in church, you weren't genuine all along. Amen. That's a fact. Because if it's real, you can't stop it. When God's in a person's life, you can't change them. I mean, there's not a plague out there. There's nothing out there that's going to hinder us from being, for God, what we ought to be if we have the real deal. Amen, folks? Come on now. This isn't Wednesday night now. This is Sunday morning. You know what I said Wednesday night? Now, thinking about this morning, we're talking now about a Christianity that is a blood-bought type. It's the type that'll do when you're dying. It's the kind of salvation that gets the slum out of sinners, and then it takes the sinners out of the slums. It's the kind of salvation that takes a bottle of liquor out of a person's hand and replaces it with a glass of diet tea. Sweet tea for some of you wimps. Well, I'm a wimp. That's what I drink, isn't it, Carol? You know what it'll do for you? It'll take the filth out of a person's mouth and replace it with praise. It'll take an old rebel rouser who is unfaithful to his wife, who is unkind to his children. It'll bring him in from the streets and back home again. It's the kind that brings a prodigal out of the far country, and it's the kind that brings the maniacs out of the cemeteries. It's a type of Christianity I'm talking about that takes people out of the dead end and dark streets, and it plants their feet on the path that's straight and becomes brighter and brighter as we get closer to heaven. And I've got a Bible verse to substantiate that truth. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 18, but the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Think about that. The path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. I take that to mean a Christian, if anything, ought to be getting brighter as they get closer to glory. They ought to be getting brighter. I mean, they should be like changing the old-fashioned bulbs into the, what? The halogen? What kind? Bright type. LED. In other words, we become a little more LED the closer we get to glory. I'm talking about old-fashioned Christianity. It's the kind that was introduced by the gospel. It's the kind that where the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is the power of God in salvation, it gets a hold of a person. It's a kind of a salvation that shouts, living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins far away. Rising, he justified freely forever. Someday he's coming. Oh, glorious day. That's what I'm talking about today. Old-fashioned Christianity. This down-to-earth Christian respects down-to-earth Bible preaching. Just plain old down-to-earth Bible preaching. A down-to-earth Christian has some discernment. They know when it's not right. They know that they're, some of them, they go in churches. And it doesn't take them long to know, instead of getting a good solid meal, they're over at Dairy Queen, just licking on a cone. And by the way, I was at Dairy Queen yesterday and I may go before the day is over. But old-fashioned Christians know when it's food. They know what it is. They appreciate old Bible preaching. You see, and that's the need today in churches. That's the need today from preachers. To preach, thus saith the Lord, without apology. A preacher, by the way, without boldness is like a knife without a blade. It's like a gun without bullets. It's like an old Mustang GT without an engine. That's what it is. I figured I'd get a cackle out of Dennis on that one. His daddy really worked on them cars. Old Billy Sunday, the evangelist of the 19th century. One time somebody told him to tone it down. He said, stop rubbing the cat's fur the wrong way. He replied, I have no intentions of toning it down. He said, turn the cat around. And that's what I like to say to people. Just turn the cat around. I don't plan on toning it down. I'll tell you, I'm getting too close to heaven now to tone it down. In fact, I'm not being cocky when I say this. I've been pastoring so long now, the least or the worst, however you put it, even this church could do, would tell me to take a hike, and I'm so close to retiring anyway, you think that'd bother me? I'm just joking, of course. That's a good thing about being an older preacher. I mean, if a church gets upset and says, you go this way, you'll say, I sure will, thank you, have a good day. No, I love preaching too much to do that. I'm not reckless and careless in that statement. But I'm saying, though, we do need some preachers that'll get back to old-fashioned preaching and not be thinking about their paycheck, not be thinking about their status, but think about the fact that souls are dying and going to hell and Christians need the nurture of God's Word. That's what we need. And some preachers are scared to say anything. They're scared that the congregation might get upset. Old-fashioned Christians, by the way, appreciate Bible preaching. Bold preaching is clear and concise and direct. You know, preaching should feel like the gun's been aimed at us. Like somebody one time told the preacher, he said, preacher, weren't you getting a little personal? The preacher said, yes, ma'am. He said, I was trying to be personal. And you see, when we preach, it needs to come across personal. It needs to speak to our hearts. A little boy came home from church one time. His mom said, son, of course, she should have been in church with him, but she wasn't. She said, son, she said, what did the preacher preach on? Little boy said, I don't know, Mama. He never said. Some people leave churches wondering, what did the preacher preach on? By the way, we expect our mail carrier to bring our personal mail, don't we? And by the another by the way, I've said by the way a lot this morning, the mail service delivery, The Kernersville Postal Service owes me some money. Every time I turn around, I'm getting my neighbor's mail. And I've turned out to be a mail delivery boy. So they owe me a check. But you know, we expect the mail carrier to deliver our mail. We need preachers that will deliver all the mail. That includes the bills. When he reads the meter and we get those threatening notices. Sometimes we need those threatening notices. Because guess what? We're a bunch of old sinners. We might be saved, but we still have a long ways to go in terms of a lot of rough edges need to be smoothed out. We still got pride problems. We still don't pray enough. We don't praise God enough. We don't do those things enough, and preachers need to remind us. You understand that when I'm preaching to myself just like I am you. See, I don't have a pastor like you do. I have to be my own pastor. Sometimes when I'm preaching, maybe I just need to step on down from the pulpit. And I just need to turn around and say, preach it, brother, preach it. Maybe that's how you do it. Or I could say, preacher, I didn't like what you said. Maybe that'll work. But you know, down-to-earth Christians appreciate down-to-earth Bible preaching. A down-to-earth Christian also, thirdly, has some old-fashioned, down-to-earth biblical standards. Biblical standards. Come out from the world and be ye separate. Touch not the unclean thing. We need to live a consistent Christian life. People don't need new fads and new fashions, but we do need the old-fashioned truth. We don't need any new doctrine. We have it all right here. We don't need a new Bible. We don't need new standards. We have it right here. I heard a message preached from this old book over 40 years ago, and it had enough power to get me into the ark of safety. Amen. And I'm not about to jump ship with it now. It must have been the real deal, or I wouldn't be standing here today as a Christian. And secondly, I wouldn't be standing here today preaching to you the gospel of Jesus Christ. So a dead book couldn't have given me a living reality. If it was dead, we need to act right, live right, stand for what's right, and respect and love what God respects and loves. Young couples in their homes need to be teaching their children to respect the church, to respect the pastor, to love the work of God. That's what an old-fashioned, down-to-earth Christian does. This church today would not be where it's at. It would not have survived all down through the years if it, first of all, was not founded right, and then if it wasn't furnished right by men of like faith, doctrinally the same, preaching the same old-fashioned truth. Here's something that I wonder about. I do see this happening sometimes. I see pastors leaving churches, and then I see someone else coming in and the church going to pieces. I see churches, some, and I've known some that's been pastored for many years by a godly preacher. And then the preacher dies, leaves, or whatever the case might be, and someone else comes in and the church goes berserk. You ever wonder why that happens? You ever wonder? I have an idea how it could happen. I don't care how good and godly and straightforward a preacher might be, we've got to always keep in mind we come to church, we serve God, We honor the truth more than we do the man. We follow Christ, not the man. So I would like to think that the Smith Grove Baptist Church, when the day comes, not if, but when the day comes, Chuck Peters steps out of the pulpit. This church will not only continue on the way it has continued on, but it'll gain ground. Amen. I don't want anybody coming just because you like me. Come because you love Jesus. That's old-fashioned Christianity. And also, too, I would like to think this church has the right discernment to know if someone comes in, you know where that person is doctrinally, and so forth. I'm just saying that's old-fashioned Christianity I'm talking about. And then I must hurry. An old-fashioned Christian, down-to-earth Christianity, has a down-to-earth peace and joy. The old-fashioned Christian finds satisfaction in their Lord. They're taken up with Him. They're learning more and more that only Jesus can satisfy my soul. We're going through tough times, aren't we? But God hasn't changed. The Word hasn't changed. Grace is still sufficient. He's still in charge. He's still in control. And by the way, even nature proves it. As basic Bible does. Even nature. I'm an observer of nature. I just happen to enjoy watching nature. I love to watch birds. I love to see flowers grow. I'm amazed at certain flowers. And by the way, you know what this corona is doing? This is turning the, it's imagine now the increase of horticulturists. After this, though, everybody, boy, check people's garden. I need to drive through the neighborhood and check your old gardens out. I saw your garden, Brenda. But, okay, has a thought ever occurred to anyone? Isn't it amazing that certain flowers only start blooming certain times? Some come on earlier, some a little bit later. But it seemed like they all give the nod. They all get the nod. They all get the memo. They all get the memo. And every type of flower has its own growing season, even though it's summer. Now why? I know why, and I think you do. Because God has control of an orderly run universe. If I wasn't a Christian, I'd still have to give careful consideration to creation. But I do read Psalm 19 that says the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament shows His handiwork. You surely can get an idea by looking up towards the heavens. We're looking at nighttime. On any given clear night, we're looking at stars that could have literally burned out thousands of years ago. You know why? Because of the expanse of the universe. The expanse of the universe. Only God. I tell you, I'm going to be preaching pretty soon on those two words, only God. Thought about preaching this today, only God. You can look in any direction. You find yourself saying, only God. I mean, I see God's handiwork in everything anymore. I can't, and I'll tell you, watermelons have really been good this year. You heard me say something about that recently. As soon as church is over today, if you can't get anything out of Gary Slate's garden, get straight to Walmart and buy you one of those nice little round watermelons they're selling there now. They're the best they've ever been. We've eaten about five of them already. Every time I take a bite of a luscious, ice-cold watermelon, I'm muttering to myself, only God. I'm telling you, what about the taste bud? What about the ability to enjoy things? That's God. But I really say only God when I think of salvation. Only God when I think about the justification of a sinner. Only God when I think about peace in my heart only God when I think about the joy of living the Christian life. What a blessing. Then finally, well, finally, before the last finally, a down-to-earth Christian has a down-to-earth, old-fashioned security. Old-fashioned security. You don't get that out of religion. You don't. You get it from the Bible. Now, the Bible says in Psalm 125, verse 2, as the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about His people from henceforth even forever. Now, I say today, whom once He loves, He never leaves, but loves them to the end. Once in Christ forever, nothing from His love can sever. Who need fear if our salvation is made secure by the covenant of God? If you were a child of God in the past, you're a child of God now. If you would have gone to heaven in the past, you're going to heaven now. If you were ever regenerated in the past, you're regenerated now. Because God does not undo the work of redemption that He's done. God doesn't change His mind. God doesn't renege on what He's promised. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. You can take your little religious manual and your little doctrinal book that fits the denomination, and you can parse the words all you want. But I challenge you today, just take God at His word, and you'll be a lot safer and a lot more blessed. Eternal means eternal. Even Webster would agree to that. I give unto them eternal life. There's a lot could be said about that simple statement. I give unto them eternal life. Eternal life has to be given or we'd never get it. I give unto them eternal life. That in itself ought to stop the religionist in his tracks. Because their argument is, I work, I achieve, I earn, I strive, I persevere, I keep the law, I attend church, I get baptized, blah, 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 blah. Right on down the line it goes. No, if you've got the kind that God gives, then that's the kind that's forever. I give unto them eternal life. Now stay with that verse. And they shall what? Never. Never perish. Never. What right has any person to interfere with what God said? How can we circumvent what God said? Never means never. It means never. Old-fashioned, down-earth Christianity has an old-fashioned security. And then finally, this is my finally right here. Down-to-earth Christians have some down-to-earth secrets. I have a secret this morning. It's the same secret that you know. You know what that secret is? I know the Lord. I know that I'm saved. I know that I'm going to heaven. I know that He loves me. I know that He's taking care of me. That's my secret. But guess what? It just lost its secrecy because I just told you, didn't I? But it's a secret in that sense. Only it's a truth only known to Christian people. I close this morning with a piece that I read years ago, which I think pretty well articulates what down-to-earth Christianity is all about. Someone wrote this: I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. I won't look back, let up, slow down, back away, or be still. My past is redeemed. My present makes sense, and my future is secure. I'm finished and done with low living, sight walking, small planning, smooth knees, colorless dreams, tamed visions, mundane talking, cheap living, dwarf goals. I no longer need preeminence, prosperity, position, promotions, or popularity. I don't have to be right first. I don't have to be recognized. I don't have to be praised. I don't have to be regarded or rewarded. I now live by faith. Lean on His presence. Walk by patience. Lift by prayer and labor by power. My face is set. My goal is heaven. My road is narrow. My way rough. My companions few, but my guide is reliable. My mission is clear. I cannot be bought, deluded, or delayed. I will not flinch in the face of sacrifice, hesitate in the presence of the adversary, negotiate at the table of the enemy, or meander in the maze of mediocrity. I won't give up. I won't shut up. I won't let up until I have stayed up, stored up, prayed up, paid up, preached up for the cause of Christ. I'm a disciple of Jesus. I must go till He comes, give till I drop, preach till all know, and work till He stops me. I close this morning by simply saying this: God help us to be simply a down-to-earth Christian, but heavenly-minded all of the same time. We have our feet on the ground, but we have our minds in glory. We live upon this earth, but we have a citizenship far greater than this earth. We're seated in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus, and you can hurry up and believe the place where we're now seated will be the place where one day we will enjoy. That's what it means to be a down-to-earth, old-fashioned Bible Christian. I'm talking about one that's come to the cross, that's realized the efficacy of Christ's finished work, that's been willing to say no to sin and yes to Jesus Christ, that's been willing to throw up the white flag of surrender and say, I surrender all to Jesus, I surrender all. This world today does not need Christians that'll be any less Christian. If anything, this world today needs to see Christians flaming, blazing, excited, zealous, with a warm heart, as much if not more than ever before. The news won't help you, the news that we hear on TV, but this news will help you. This news will save you. This news will encourage you. This news will give you something to live for. I say today, with all that's going on in this world, there's still only one main solution to the biggest problem that man has. The problem today, behind the sin, the violence, the confusion, the rioting, the killing people's lives, is called sin. And there's only one way that that sin can have proper provision for. And that's through what Jesus did when He died for our sins upon that cross. But you must be born again. If you're here today and you're not 100% sure that you're saved, you need to come to Him today. And by the way, I say today because you're not promised a tomorrow. You need to realize today where you stand and be willing today to let Jesus Christ be front and center in your life. You that are watching me today, that are listening through the medium of Facebook and YouTube, understand today that you need Jesus Christ like we all do. So I would encourage you this morning, if you're listening and you've never been saved, accept what God says about your condition, all of sin. Accept what God says about your penalty, the wages of sin is death. Accept what God says about the provision. God made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Then accept what God says about how to be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. I urge you to do that today. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. You that are watching and listening to me out there, through Facebook and YouTube, if you're not saved, I urge you right now to call upon the Lord and ask God to save you. I urge you right now to humble your heart and ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart and save you. I urge every Christian out there to, by the grace of God, be willing to say, I want to shine more, I want to be more salty, I want to be more of a light for the cause of Christ than ever before. I'm going to cheer up, I'm going to look up, I'm going to face up, I'm going to be excited about the things that mean the most. We're going to have an invitation very shortly here at this church. We're going to close down our program this morning, our streaming program. We're going to have an invitation. If you're here this morning and you want to come to this altar and pray about something, maybe God's leading you into the fellowship of our church. Maybe you're here this morning and you're not saved. You need to come and get saved. Maybe as a Christian, just come to the altar and pray about it. You do so while we sing. Let's pray. Father in heaven, bless this invitation. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Mike, what's